are seven people who have come this morning to present themselves for baptism, and we are delighting in baptism. It might be a kind of a strange sort of ritual, but Christians all around the world practice baptism, primarily because that's exactly what Jesus commanded. In his final words before he ascended into heaven, here's what we find. This is Matthew 28, 18 to 20. He says to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." So we baptize people who want to become a disciple of Jesus, primarily because that's the way Jesus has commanded that his disciples be identified. And yet it leaves us with some questions. What does baptism mean? Why does Jesus command this? And who should be baptized? Those are all questions that sort of ring in our ears. And lately here at Hope, we have been spending some time looking at the words of Jesus as we find them in the Gospel of Matthew. And as we read through the words of Jesus, we discover he says some incredibly amazing things. And one that I would like to invite you to ponder with me this morning is from verse 15. He says, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And what he's doing is answering a question: why should I be baptized? He's come to a man named John the Baptist, and John has said, "Why should you be baptized?" And this is Jesus' answer: "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So part of the first answer to the question, why do we practice baptism? Why do the disciples of Jesus be baptized? The first part of that answer is because it's part of God's will in unfolding all of his purposes for our lives in fulfilling righteousness. So it's part of that plan. John the Baptist is unique here. So I'm just going to go to Matthew chapter 3 for a couple of references to just fill in some color on what's going on behind baptism and why it's important. But John sort of pioneered baptism. It bursts onto the first century scene through the ministry and the life of John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, and he had been born about 3 months before Jesus. And he's an evangelist, and he's preaching out in the Judean wilderness. We think of evangelists today as some of those guys who stand on the street corner and people ignore them as we walk by, right? And this John is not one of those kind of guys. He's preaching in the wilderness, and yet everyone is listening to what he has to say. And in the beginning of his ministry, he begins baptizing people. And so to get a fuller understanding of all that John means for baptism, I'm going to read a couple of verses. The first two in John chapter 3 says this: "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So the first clue of what is baptism, what does it mean, it's shaped by an understanding that the heavenly kingdom is coming. God's kingdom is moving. And in order to prepare for it, John says, "Repent." That's the message that he's preaching. Out in the wilderness, he's preaching, and people are coming out to him. So there's this implicit understanding that if the heavenly kingdom comes, it can't tolerate unrighteousness. So there needs to be repentance. So the first, most basic understanding of what is baptism, it's part of a confession of sins that people will give publicly in a desire to step into the kingdom of heaven. So it's partly confession, it's partly preparatory. And this is the context out of which John begins practicing baptism. And as people come to him, look at verses 5 and 6, "Then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all of the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." So John is baptizing in a river. He's in a place where there's plenty of water. The word baptism means to submerge, to dip, to dunk. And so he's in a place where there's plenty of water for people to go underwater as they're confessing their sin. So the most basic understanding of the meaning and symbolism of baptism is it is an expression of a confession of sin from which you want to repent. And so it carries this idea of having your sins cleansed and washed away, being completely made new in a forgiveness that is given by God. Now, in the Old Testament, if you think about water for just a minute, water often symbolizes God's judgment. In Noah, in Genesis, when the days of Noah, there is a flood that covers the earth, and that those flood waters were a part of God's judgment against sin, to remove sin. Another instance that we would think of is when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, and they got to the Red Sea. Do you remember what happened? God parted the Red Sea, the children of Israel safely go through, and yet the waters of the Red Sea crush the Egyptian army as a form of judgment against their rebellion and their intention to harm the children of Israel. So there's this idea of judgment that carries with this notion that sins need to be forgiven. All of this is being pictured in baptism. So we don't know this unless we spend a little time thinking about it. And so, verse 11, we see John explains baptism. He's explaining what he's doing. Verse 11 says, and this is John speaking, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I am, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So there's this notion of repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is not merely saying, "I'm sorry for my sins." True biblical repentance that John is talking about is a kind of repentance that despises that sinful tendency which all of us has and is willing to turn away from it. True repentance yearns to see Jesus as so lovely that it's willing to let go of everything else in order to gain Christ. Willing to let go of old habits and habits of everything that brings us pain and sorrow, to say no to an old way of life and reach out in faith towards God. Repentance, laying behind the old way of living and embracing a new way of living. So we see repentance is part of what baptism means. But also there's this symbolism of that brings in the notion of the Holy Spirit. So John is saying, Jesus is much greater than me. He's going to do something I could never do. I'm going to baptize you with water for repentance as a symbol of being washed and forgiven of your sins, but somebody's going to come behind me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So when we baptize, as Jesus commanded, you heard it just a moment ago, we baptize in the name of the Father, right? God's command, and the Son. Who's the Son? Jesus, right? He's the one who has effected our salvation. He's the one who laid down his life to pay the penalty for our sins. He shed his blood to atone for our sins. And who's the last person? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of God. It's not it. He is a person. And so we baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is a symbol of receiving new life. So baptism, we submerse because we are saying, I agree, my sins condemn me. I ought to be buried because of my sin. I know I am a sinner, and I know that the punishment for sin is death. And so we're buried with Christ, kind of an analogy. But I don't stay dead, right? We're not dying today. No one's going to die in the baptismal waters, I promise you. I've never lost anyone. I almost lost a little kid who was about 7 once. He got down to the last step in the baptistry, and the water was right here. He still had one more step to go. And he said, "Do I have to go all the way under?" And I said, "Yeah, we do." And he said, "Well, can we get this over with quick?" There won't be any of that today, especially James. Will be very difficult, right? I'll have to reach up and grab a hold of his hair and pull him down under. Right? But baptism is a symbol of us agreeing with God. Our sins ought to kill us. We deserve to die. And yet, through Christ, we get new life. We're raised up, and the Holy Spirit comes into us. This is the adoption and being brought into the family of God. Because if we don't have His Spirit, we're not His child. Now, baptism doesn't affect that relationship. Right, we become sons of God through faith in Jesus. But baptism is a symbol for us to see something that none of us can see. We don't see receiving the Holy Spirit always in such obvious ways. And yet when we ask Jesus to save us, wash us, cleanse us of our sin, give me life, he gives us his Spirit. We're renewed. We have a love for being with God's people. You guys love being here today? I love being here with all you guys. This is great. And the food is, it's even going to get better. And so there's a goodness of being with God's people. That's part of what the Holy Spirit works in us. He cultivates a love for Scripture. One of the key indicators that someone has come to faith is people who say, I used to hate the Bible, and now I can't put it down. Or I read this, I got nothing out of it. And now it just, I don't know, it speaks to my soul. That's one of the pointers that the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of a person. So that's symbolized by rising up out of the waters and saying, I get new life. This is a new direction. I'm saying no to an old way, a dead way that left me completely dissatisfied. I'm saying yes to a new way of living. All of this is wrapped up in baptism. And it is a public declaration of, I want to obey Christ. We baptize, why? Because Jesus commanded it. Every nation on the planet where there are followers of Jesus do this, either in tubs inside buildings or out in rivers when it's warm and you can do that kind of thing. And so Christians all over the globe practice baptism. So that's what we're doing today. That's what we're going to do this morning. And so I want you to understand all what we're sharing. And then we want to give opportunities to every one of these folks to come and share in just a few minutes. But some of you might be thinking, well, I don't need baptism, right? When we ask the question, who should be baptized? We have a difference of opinion in the Protestant church than with our Catholic brothers and sisters, because there are many folks who have been baptized as infants. And so when you ask the question, who should be baptized? According to what we have seen so far, first, it's people who can confess their sins. It's people who know that they are sinners and in need of a Savior. And look at the last couple of verses I'll read. Jesus was even baptized. So it's something more than just a confession of sin. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 13-17. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. That's the point of his coming. He's coming to be baptized. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus said, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. Behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus is commanding all of us who want to be his followers to do what he has done. And so he himself submitted to baptism. He didn't need to confess his sins. John knows this because John says, what do you want me to baptize you? You should baptize me. I'm the guy with faults. You have none. So it's more than confessing of sins. It's also an act of obedience in fulfilling all righteousness in God's plan for us. Because Jesus certainly didn't need to be baptized in the sense of washing his sins away, having this picture of his sins being forgiven, and yet he was. So when we think about who should be baptized, it's people who want to obey Jesus, people who can confess their sins and understand that they're looking to Jesus in order to be forgiven. Infants can't do those things. So we think it's a misrepresentation of all that baptism means in baptizing infants. So some of us here today who are going to be baptized have struggled with this. Some of them were baptized as infants, and yet now see that this is an act of obedience and of proclaiming my faith in Jesus. It's a public declaration of, yes, I'm a follower of Christ. So you're going to get to hear that. We're going to invite everyone to come and share just for a couple minutes in person, and we're going to invite Bryna to sort of kick us off.